Welcome back to The Money Show. We had promised you on our Friday file talking about the BMW 7 Series, but we thought we'd do you one better. Now talking about luxury on a budget, buying a luxury car secondhand. What exactly should you be looking out for given the cost of maintaining such beasts? We're joined now by Warren Tucker, motoring enthusiast and expert, to talk to us about this. Warren, car prices have shot through the roof. A lot of them revving up over the year, when interest rates have been going up, of course. They have been elevated for quite some time now, not moving through the shop floors, especially the new cars. But if I want to invest in a luxury car, and I want it to be secondhand to save me a buck, what exactly should I be looking at?
Well, Mateo, let's look at this, right? So you'd look around and you'd see, I always get these questions. Hey, listen, I've seen the 650i convertible and it's only 180 grand. It's a 2012 model. It's got a full maintenance history. It looks good. I think I'm going to go for it. And I always say to the guys, okay, that's cool. Go for it. When that car was brand new, it was about 800,000 rand, right? Unfortunately, the parts for the vehicle have not depreciated as quickly as the cost of the vehicle has depreciated. So when you need some bits for the car, when it goes wrong, because it's going to go wrong, you are now out of either a service plan, a motor plan, or a warranty, and you're going to have to pay cash for these things. And the parts notoriously for luxury vehicles, hence the reason why they depreciate as much as they do, are horrendous. I've seen examples where people have bought these secondhand vehicles and, you know, the vehicles, because nothing lasts forever, as we know. So you're going to need maintenance for them. And, you know, you always separate maintenance and versus your services, your day-to-day sort of stuff. But the thing's going to need shocks, it's going to need brake discs, it's going to need brake pads, it's going to need tires at some point. And those things come at a cost, with the luxury vehicles, serious cost.
Do we have a Toyota equivalent when it comes to luxury cars, one that you know you can run for a long time without having to swap parts too often?
Well, if my uncle's listening, he would be cheering right now for Lexus. Because Lexus is the brand. They've got that Toyota reliability and that Toyota, build quality, and it's in a luxury brand. You just need to look around and see them on the road. You've got Lexuses from the early 90s that are still riding on the road at the moment that look great, and, they keep going.
Then when we do our research to acquire one of these cars, of course, it could be a German luxury sedan. It could be the Lexus that you've just mentioned now, or anything from the UK. Is there a difference between looking at a luxury SUV or a luxury sedan? Which one would be a budget friendly?
Well, the thing is, I'm sure you know that a lot of the companies own. So, for example, if you buy a Rolls Royce, you effectively underneath the skin, that's a 7 Series BMW, okay, bar the engine but your suspension bits and components and that sort of stuff, you're looking sort of at a 7 Series BMW there. If you're buying a Bentley, you've got sort of, because the manufacturers, they take a lot of bits from a lot of companies and then put the cars together, right? And you'd end up in a situation where you'd buy the vehicle and find that specifically, let's say, for example, the brake discs on that Bentley might be something that you find on an Audi or something on a VW, on one of the Q7 luxury vehicles, you understand? So you might get away with that in certain situations, but let's say, for example, you need a headlight, or let's say you need a mirror or a window glass. Those are going to be brand specific and specific to that vehicle. And a lot of the time, you know, the secondhand luxury vehicles are maintained. They're looked after. They're generally bought by people that have money. And when the new model comes out, they'll trade it in and take a secondhand vehicle, sell the secondhand vehicle to the trade and take a new one. So again, it's not a bad proposition, but you need to go into it understanding what you're getting yourself into.
luxury vehicles are often misleading in that they look really good. So even if you get them second or third hand, you know, outside they look like they should. But what should I be looking out for when I'm test driving one? You know, some the kinks that I should be looking for in the armor, so I don't spend money on something that's going to cost me way too much money.
Well, look, I would always start with make sure that the vehicle has a service history of some kind. It needs to have been maintained, okay? As I said earlier, the parts on these vehicles are notoriously expensive. Look at the tires. Make yourself comfortable with the fact that a set of tires for a 20-inch wheel, especially if they're low profiles, it can set you back 20-odd grand, okay? Then there's no way around that. You're going to need tires. So go into the vehicle with your eyes open. Look at the vehicle, right? And look at what the vehicle needs, right? You start with the service history, then check the tires, check the overall condition of the vehicle. I mean, you can see something that's been abused, okay? You would pick it up on the leather, on the driver's seat, and on the steering wheel, and on the pedals. Most of the luxury vehicles are automatic. So, you know, if there's certain things that are not working, for example, in the S-Class Mercedes-Benz, they've got those soft-closed doors. If that system's not working, it's quite expensive to put it right. If the boot lid is not opening and closing on its own, it's quite expensive to put it right. So check that all the systems in the car are working and then go from there. If you are a novice and you are not that tech savvy or motor vehicle savvy, book the vehicle for a DEKRA test. It will be the best 1,200 Rand you spend. The report they give you will tell you exactly what's going on with the vehicle, and you will go into the vehicle with an informed position to make a decision on buying that vehicle, yes or no.
1,200 is not even a full tank for some of these luxury vehicles.
Yes.
So looking at the fuel efficiency, I think it's quite crazy that I'm asking about fuel efficiency and we're talking about luxury cars, but we're living in very different times where, you know, money is tight. You'd like something to drive on a Sunday, but you also want to make sure that you don't bleed money as you do that. So some of the most fuel efficient models that are in this particular segment.
Well, most luxury vehicles are V6s or V8s. The words fuel efficiency and luxury kind of don't sit in the same sentence. It's like a guy buying a BMW M4 and complaining that the car is heavy on fuel because it's a performance car. But that being said, right, you would, if you are looking at a luxury vehicle and you are wanting to sort of look at the fuel economy side of it, you know, try and look for the vehicle with the smaller engine then, in that sense. So, for example, you'd have two variants. You might have a V6 or a V8. If you are really doing your fuel economy or you fuel conscious, then go with the smaller engine because the smaller engine is going to be a lot lighter than the bigger motor in that sense. But as I say that, also look at what it is that you're purchasing because it's no use having a tiny engine in a massive body because that small engine is not going to be able to pull that big body down the road. So if you look at your S-Classes, you had the baby, you had the 350, you had the 500, and then you had the big boy, the performance, the S63 AMG. Really, the S63 AMG is a performance luxury car, so it's going to be heavier on fuel, right? The baby or the entry-level one would be the 350, and then the mid-range one would be the 500. So you definitely have to look at those figures and see. What I always say to people is decide up front what it is that you want to buy. Okay, make peace with the fact that there are going to be some things about this car that you're going to, for example, the fuel is going to be a bit horrendous on it.
Things to overlook.
Right? Things to overlook. But you're buying the vehicle for the overall driving pleasure of owning this luxury vehicle. So keep looking at the pros on it. You know, if we bought stuff purely because we were sitting there and wondering, oh, wait, I bought this car, the tires are going to cost this, the fuel's going to cost that, I think then, you know, you're going to put yourself off it from the word go.
Yeah, you shouldn't be buying luxury then. But when we look at the insurance of second-hand luxury cars, the special paints, you know, special sort of tires that come with some of these performance cars,
yes.
How much should we be putting away to make sure that we can sustain the luxury part of the car?
Well, that is a good question. You know, a lot of the time people do, they'll buy the car but not worry about what the insurance cost on that vehicle is. And remember, these vehicles, as I said earlier, their parts are notoriously expensive. And for you to get into a simple Prang and the headlights on the vehicle is 70K, you know, that sort of thing. So what I would do in that situation is obviously look at the vehicle that you want and just give the insurance company a courtesy call and find out what that insurance on that vehicle might cost, right? You might be surprised that the vehicle insurance comes in cheaper than what you thought, or you might get the shock of your life that, well, the 650i is only 180,000 Rand. My installment on the car, if I had to do it higher purchase, is 5,000 Rand, but my insurance is 6,000 Rand, right? So you've got to do this. You've got to go into it with some background, and you've got to just arm yourself with all of the knowledge going into that. A lot of the time, one of the pros about looking at an older luxury car is there are enthusiasts out there, and there's a lot of forums online, and they'll spell out for you the pros and the cons of the vehicle. They'll tell you, well, you know what, on the 650, the gearbox is the Achilles heel. You need to make sure that the service at 180,000 kilometers is done. You know, on the S-Class Mercedes-Benz, the valve body on the gearbox goes, or the shocks, the bellows in the shocks are faulty, and you need to change them. So, you know, if you do your research, you definitely would be able to make an informed decision and buy something knowing what you're getting yourself into.
Not all luxury cars have the classic label, so in that it becomes an investment vehicle. So you also have to watch out on the resale value of what you're buying, because you could be buying a luxury car that, you know, doesn't really interest car enthusiasts in the next 3 or 4 years when you want to resell it. So which brands or maybe cars that you know of that you can buy secondhand but still have a good resale value?
Well, the thing is there, right? If you look at the vehicles that are out there at the moment, if you take a Mercedes-Benz from the 90s, okay, and you take, for example, the SL500, those vehicles not so long ago were not worth a lot of money. They were changing hands for under 100,000 Rand. Their prices have shot up because they've become scarce and they've become sought after in the market. So their prices have shot up from under 100,000. You'll now part with close to $500,000 for a 1993, 1994 SL500 with a hardtop. Now, that is just how the motoring game goes. I saw a thing today about a BMW E46 M3 CSL. I remember not so long ago that the dealers couldn't give them away. They were changing hands for 500,000 Rand. There's one available currently for 2 million Rand, right? And that just speaks to, well, do I look at this vehicle as an investment and hold on to it and maintain the vehicle, right? Use the vehicle, but maintain it and hold on to it, because it's a time game. And you are correct in what you're saying. Not every luxury vehicle is going to become a classic, right? The Mercedes I'm referring to was featured in the Boys to Men video, Down on a Bended Knee. That was around. Everybody saw those cars up and down. They became scarce now. So now they're worth a lot of money. If you look at the Porsche that was featured in the first Bad Boys movie, that was actually the director's car. They didn't have a car for the movie, so they used the director's vehicle. Those Porsches, not so long ago, changed hands for under 1 million Rand, 2 million Rand. That specific brand or that specific model is worth 8 million Rand today.
Well, that's luxury on a budget. If you want to get a luxury car secondhand, those are the things you need to look out for. Of course, you can still have a little fun on a Sunday morning on that breakfast run. Warren Tucker, car expert, talking to us about that tonight.